Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life.
Hello, welcome to Namaste Radio. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. And today we have a very special guest, Dr. Stefan Kassian. He is a professor of consciousness studies at Akamai University in Hawaii, and he met my boss, Constance Kello, the founder of Namaste Publishing, down in Arizona, and they were talking about youth and vitality, and his mentor, Dr. Bernardo LaPaolo, is 109 years old, and he looks about half his age, so there's obviously something very special going on there, so we're going to talk to Dr. Stefan about that today. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Marie. Thank you so much. I'm really thrilled to have the chance to share what I've learned and to grow as well.
Wonderful. And so you, how are things in Scottsdale, Arizona today?
Well, the weather is absolutely stunning. They call it a boringly beautiful day, clear blue skies and warm, and what a great day to be speaking with you on the phone. In fact, I see some leaves falling from the trees and just reminded of, you know, the beauty of life cycles. And as we really get to see what life's about, that is one of the gateways I've seen in this awareness to experience our own timelessness and agelessness.
Beautiful. And speaking of agelessness and timelessness, you've been very influenced by Deepak Chopra's work, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, Maria. It kind of happens. A lot of my thinking got influenced as even as a kid, I would want to seek alternatives to the conventional mainstream thinking. I've always sort of sought this internal freedom and not just, you know, other people just want external freedom. And I was fascinated about the mind, the body, and so I was studying medicine, pre-medicine psychology as a Duke undergraduate, but I was kind of yearning for more. I knew there was more behind the scenes, that's called the unseen. And so I had actually coordinated a mind-body medicine study group with my mentor, Larry Burke, who was a radiologist at the medical center, and that was designed to expand the medical paradigm. One of the first featured guests of this group was Deepak Chopra, and I was really amazed by his thinking as it applied to realizing life just doesn't happen in the events or in the thoughts. It happens between the thoughts. And that is a fascinating insight to be, you know, thrown when we're busy studying for an exam to memorize the biochemical structures and formulas. And that was sort of the beginning. That was like a bit of a jump for me of thinking, wow, I am more than just the body. I'm more than just the mind. And it started clicking because I sort of always had that knowing, but I didn't know how to connect it up. So Deepak began this search in realizing what our true timeless, ageless nature is. And that also began have me see that healing is way more than simply the chemistry and the, you know, the medical, the biomedical structures. It really is an essence. It's an occurrence. It has to even beyond an occurrence.
And so, Dr. Stefan, we're going to talk about DNA today, and you actually had a near-death experience that kind of brought on this DNA awakening. What happened around that?
Oh, well, this is a pretty amazing story. You know, because as an undergraduate, I was studying studying medicine and spending a lot of time working in different medical laboratories, doing research, doing interning, and so, you know, we're taught about DNA as a structure for thinking in terms of the DNA chemicals, the deoxyribonucleic acids, these different chemical structures, the two different pairs of amino acids that link together that form these codes that life is based on. So that's what one thinks of conventionally or biochemically of what DNA is. And that then began, I kind of knew there was more to that because I began researching energy medicine, and then I studied Jeremy Narby's book called The Cosmic Serpent, which is an anthropological study of how snakes and imagery of snakes and one- and two-headed serpents appear throughout cave paintings all over the world. And his speculation was, as an anthropologist, that this is actually DNA as we interpret it in our consciousness. So this evolved into realizing the shamans who've been interviewed in the Amazon, they were told about DNA. They would sort of laugh, these medicine healers, and say, "What took you so long? We knew this. We knew all about this all along." And that made me realize that inwardly we know everything that's out there. You know, it's a real experience. It's all contained within us. So we're going from biochemistry to anthropology and consciousness. Then we're talking about a more direct experience, because now I'm sort of jumping ahead to studying DNA with through a direct experience. And this was an example where I was first in Hawaii during an APA conference, American Psychological Association conference, with my mentor, Stanley Krippner. And I did my doctoral work with him and had an opportunity to work with him, serve with him in different missions, humanitarian work around the world. And it was such a privilege to work with him. And so he invited me to do this shamanic-type journey with a Brazilian healer. And this was a student here at the graduate school at the university, but he had extensive training in roots dated to the Amazon in Brazil. So he traveled back and forth extensively. So he sort of replicated this Brazilian ceremony here in Hawaii, and I had a chance to participate. So you'll see where I'm going with this in a moment, because I had a glimpse after that experience, this ceremony, if you will, when I actually intended, with my consciousness, I said, "I'd like to, universe, please show me my DNA. I'd like to see it in what its true form is." And what's really amazing is I sort of saw these, it almost looked like spaghetti. Imagine this beautiful spaghetti, or it kind of looks like steel wool or even sprouts you get at the store, but they were all so bioluminescently colored. And bioluminescence was the kind of word I would use, this neon-type color. And I began asking other people who claim they've, quote-unquote, seen people's DNA, and they have similar notes. Now, this is a very different kind of research, because when we study a cell outside of ourselves or study a plant, we use a microscope or some other form of lens to study it with, but that's external to us. You know, what Namaste Radio, I feel, is doing, and what this is actually doing, this work that I was involved in, was actually using this lens turned in on ourselves. So that's a very tricky thing. You know, it's a very tricky thing, because we need to discern, are we making this up, or is this sort of welling from within? But regardless, I had this beautiful vision of these spaghetti-type strings, and you know, I would see flashes, and it was almost like they're communicating, almost like lightning bugs communicating. And that sort of gave me an insight, like, huh, this DNA, it's alive. It's not just a chemical strand. And I also did some research with other medical doctors to sort of corroborate that. So that was very interesting. And along that same time, Marie, I had a fall, a terrible fall during the ceremony, where I had a severe cut and a laceration that would have required plastic surgery, but I found myself intending this DNA, this inherent, I call it divine natural blueprint, to express itself in its perfection through the body, through its master blueprint. And amazingly enough, and I have my naturopathic doctor as a witness, this healing happened miraculously. She could hardly see a scar. This could have been terrible, terrible disfiguration, but it was just, looked like a little paper cut by comparison. It was really amazing. That just gave me a glimpse of our eternal regenerative potential. And before I jump into this near-death experience, I sort of wanted to talk a bit about some of the other thinking that influenced me that sort of led up to all this, and I guess you say, help me get these insights from this near-death experience.
Definitely.
So in addition to Deepak Chopra, I was also studying the work of Leonard Orr, O-R-R, and, you know, he has an incredible footprint, let's say, in the consciousness world because his research is on physical immortality. Now, he's not just about saying live forever in the form, but his view of immortality is the consciousness of ourselves being absorbed into our true state, our true eternal nature. So being aware of ourselves, the immortal aspect of our nature. Eastern philosophies talk about our unborn nature, that essence of us which remains before we live and after we die. There's a constant thread, that immortality. So not only is his work on immortality connected to that, but it's also about immortalizing the body in as much as possible of a state. So, you know, that influenced me because I saw a picture when I was chronologically 25, and you'll see what I'm talking about in a second, chronologically 25, that, and I was in this bookstore, this amazing bookstore in Philadelphia, after a Tai Chi lesson, and I remember distinctly because the book almost fell out of the bookshelf, and I pulled it out, or it pulled me towards it, let's say, and I'm looking at this book, and it has pictures of Bapuji, you know, this renowned, timeless yogi healer, who there's pictures of this man supposedly throughout the different centuries, and his form really hasn't changed. His form always looks like that of a young man. It might look a little bit darker, lighter, the hair may change slightly, but it still has that eternally youthful approach to it and experience to it. And so did Paramahansa Yogananda. He wrote the famous autobiography of a yogi. And he also studied some healers in India, which appeared never to age, these saints and sages and yogis, yoginis, who, you know, they really weren't attached to their form, but they were still formlessly in the form, and yet the form was changeless in that sense. It was this youthful body, and who could even know what age they really were? So he had certain rejuvenative practices that... Leonard Orr, I should say, had certain rejuvenative practices that he saw these ancients do, the people that he studied that seemed to not age at all. And would you be curious to see what some of these practices are?
Definitely.
Well, I'm sure all of us would like to hear because, you know, some of these topics are so interesting, especially nowadays, because people are having a chance to live longer than they ever have. But, you know, we also have many challenges, environmental pollutants, contaminants that we've never faced in recorded history. We also have more resources. We have more technologies, more connectivity. We have more access to herbs and medicines and even unique formulations like monatomic gold or activated water than we've ever had. So we're in a unique time in history, and I think this is why, one of the reasons why this topic is so interesting. On top of that, let's face it, I mean, if we can look young, feel young, reverse disease, reverse aging naturally without expensive pills, drugs, surgeries, who wouldn't? I mean, Beverly Hills surgeons might not like to hear this, but they also might. They really want what's best for their clients and patients. And, you know, during challenging economic times, people want to go back to what's real and not to what's fake or plastic. So we're going back to some really tangible processes and exercises. So some of the Leonard Orr ones that we've done, which I do and I've integrated, and I've also seen clients do as well, he says people need to do a spiritual practice every single day. Some form of connecting with the absolute. And that in itself helps expand our awareness naturally. Or let's just say it helps this natural awareness that always is expand back into us. And just keep that integration going, the integrated awareness. Because it's always there, always in the background, but we can get very busy and distracted during the day and lose perspective, literally. So those practices include several different things. Leonard Orr likes to work with fire, water, earth, and air. It's the basic elements which we are made of. I mean, where if we dissect our aspects. I mean, the body itself is comprised of these elements. So the fire. So if you have a chance, meditate with the candle every day. The air is a very important one because he advocates circular breathing, deep breathing, even holotropic breath work, if you've ever heard of that. Stanislav Grof did a lot of work with holotropic breathing and water. So very important, if you can ever take a bath, take it. Have pure water going in and outside of your body. I know if I'm hiking in Sedona, I like to just jump into the lake, jump into the stream whenever possible. I just feel so refreshed and renewed, and there's no coincidence that baptisms are done in water. So in pure water, this ablution, this purification of ourselves. So all these things combined in any way possible you can do, that helps you stay connected. And that also helped me realize that, you know, he also introduced the concept that aging is just an idea. It's just a belief system. It's just a belief system. So when people have asked me, how old are you? How old is Bernardo? My friend is 109. Now, he doesn't mind saying how old he is. But then again, he would also prefer saying how young he is. And even more, he would almost prefer not even to answer because he sort of laughs and people make such a big deal of it because, you know, there's really just the now and what's occurring. And so, you know, the rest is sort of a construct. And so it's really important to deconstruct our traditional concepts of age and aging and even time. You know, there's obviously research in physics, quantum physics, how certain particles go back in time. I believe they're leptons. So, you know, we have even some cutting-edge science showing us how what says time has to move forward, what has to say aging has to go in a forward direction. A lot of it is thought forms and beliefs. What concepts do you have about what aging should be like? You know, some people take pride. Well, I'm just too old to do that. You know, I'm just getting an old dirt, just getting old now. And that those kind of beliefs and attitudes reinforce our body's behavior. Going back to ageless body, timeless mind, you're really as old as you think you are, literally, or you can unthink yourself. If you're unthinking or not even thinking, you're back into timelessness because time, you know, as we perceive it, is a mental construct. So these are really important, you know, foundations in thinking that. So when someone says, how old are you? I tell people, I sort of smirk. I say ageless and timeless. Or what concept do you want? Also, I've said, you know, I've been 25 for a very long time. And that's also authentic in terms of, you know, my experience of this body. You know, I've really literally programmed this body, and I'll run you through a brief programming. We won't have time for the whole program, but just a small snippet of how you can sort of alter, undo, unpattern any beliefs you have about aging and literally choose to have your body at whatever chronological age you prefer. And, you know, it's always about challenging your belief systems, but don't make it to the point where it's unbelievable, because then you won't believe it. You have to give yourself some plausibility to it where you'd be willing to be challenged. Just like you hear these trainers talk about, well, I want to make $1 million next year, but if you've only made $10,000 the first year for some reason, $1 million is too much of a stretch. What about doubling it? So make sure anytime you're reprogramming yourself, you've satisfied enough of your mind that, you know, it's believable, like you're willing to go through with it, but then you're also willing to drop your mind and surrender into the unknown and this experimental way of being. And it's in dealing with this unknown, in the mystery of who we are, that really is timeless. So
Dr. Stefan, can I stop you for 1 second? I just want to clarify.
Yes.
So my thinking around this is, okay, so if you're 50 and you start this now, you can kind of stop the aging process, and so you'll stay around 50 forever. But if you're 50 and you say, well, I'd rather be 35, can you actually reverse and start to feel like you're 35, even though you're 50 and then 10 years later you're 60, but you're still always feeling kind of 35?
Yes, Marie, that's exactly it. It really is. Once we've reprogrammed our internal perception of ourselves, and you know, even just the thought now, you see, normally, you know, you're talking about the convention, you think, well, I'm 50, so I'm going to say 50 or I'm going to get older. What about challenging that into saying, yeah, I'm choosing to reprogram my body to be physiologically 35. Even the beginning opens up that possibility. And the beautiful thing about it is, so what, you experiment and it doesn't work. At least you put your mind and your body and your heart in that direction. And honestly, you'll make choices in that direction too. What actions would I take to support rejuvenating my body? What practices, what additional health features do I have? Because what I'm proposing is an integrative approach, not simply believing you're 35 and still eating ho-hos and sitting on the couch. You know, it really is an integrative approach, and this is a crucial formula. But what happens uniquely is you have the synergy when you're altering the beliefs or deprogramming them and sort of sinking back into your true nature, which is timeless, which does allow for this spontaneous healing, spontaneous regeneration to occur. When you are doing a DNA rejuvenation practice, when you are in the right environment, living right lifestyle, proper nutrition, water, supplements, then yes, you're creating those conditions for anti-aging. And also, I'm the first to say, because my approach is integrative, and I am about, you know, even marrying the polarities. You know, if none of this is medical advice or a substitute for medical treatment, you know, if you are going through something life-threatening or you have a medical issue, seek a qualified medical professional. But that said, I find it hard to imagine any medical professional would argue against you for changing your attitude and your beliefs about what really is possible aging-wise. And I'd also caution not to have this what's called premature positive thinking. You know, I'm definitely a positive thinker, if you want to call it that, but I'm talking about grounded positivity. If someone says, my car can fly, my car can fly, I'm not saying keep saying that while you're driving off a cliff and hoping your car will fly. I mean, there are natural universal laws that we're working with here, working with and not against. So absolutely, yeah, I think that's a really good point. So let me just skip ahead to the this near-death experience, because that's when things sort of really took a unique turn in my life. And it put all of this, made it very real for me, not simply a theory. Okay, so I had a very unusual experience of undergoing a emergency medical procedure, an emergency neurosurgery. There was some anomaly. No one could quite discern why, but they actually had to operate immediately. And this was hard from a conventional perspective, I should say an alternative medical perspective, if I were only to say, well, I'll only do acupuncture. And here it is, you know, one of the world-class neurosurgeons saying, you really need this, or, you know, you may not make it through the next week. It's that serious. And it also got me out of terms of blaming or, you know, the whys and wherefores, and just realizing certain events have no cause and no effect. In other words, if I were to make too much of a story about why it happens, that's the same way about making too much of a story about believing aging has to happen in one way or another. If we lift some of these stories, shall we call them belief systems, some people even call it karma, we do have more of this free space that spontaneous healing can and does occur. And I'll give you one example where the spontaneous healing occurred with that wound through the cut from this DNA. But the next one was, so I had this unusual surgery, and it was about 9 hours. So when you have anesthesia running through your body for 9 hours, I must say before that, you know, I had to sign a huge waiver saying, look, we have no idea what will happen when you come out. This is very risky. You could have Caesar death, stroke, paralysis, you know, a litany of anything that can happen when you're under for that long, even if you're in the world's best facility under the world's best hands. So there was a tremendous surrender I went through in realizing, life is on loan for me, that this sense of who I am is not simply limited to this body. And I really had to, it kind of stunned me into that realization, and it kept me from getting too afraid, because otherwise if we're too tense, we're not relaxed, and we're not really allowing life to run its course. We're trying to push too hard, and we're not really realizing that, you know, it's more than just this little tiny mind that's controlling everything. You know, it's a vast universe doing its thing. And we're a part of it. We're an inherent part of it. and we are it. So I had this experience during this procedure where my life flashed before my eyes, and that felt like it happened in an instant. I realized this life was sort of instantaneous in this, a dot in infinity or eternity, and there really wasn't a feeling of good or bad or yes or no or judgments around it. It was just noticing and such supreme peace and detachment, and it felt timelessness. Someone might say 9 hours, but that could have been forever, and I wouldn't have known. There really wasn't even a sense of I that would know it. And some people say they hear they see the tunnel and the clouds and relatives and angels. I didn't really see that. There was just this deep, all-encompassing sense, peace, shall we call it, knowingness. But even those words are somehow constructs only pointing to what that is. So when I woke up, or when this woke up and suddenly there was a sense of I about it, there was such bewilderment, thinking, what just happened? Oh my God, there's this body to contend with. But what's so interesting about that is during this whole recovery process of, you know, really getting going deep inside and discovering my regenerative potential, there was always that much deeper sense that there was a sense of self that was much greater than this body. And from that point of view, I found some stunning new insights with DNA healing. I was simply meditating a few months later, and actually a healer I was working with had suggested I do certain practices to make sure, all these experiences are becoming integrated safely together. And she did talk about clearing DNA, and that sort of popped in to realizing, aha, I had this major aha that the chemical structures, you know, the anthropological ideas were just reflections of some much deeper essence of DNA, which is we can activate the theory that we can actually activate our anti-aging genes consciously. Just like a rat who is calorie restricted activates the anti-aging gene through diet, we can actually activate it consciously through our consciousness being an inherent substratum of this DNA, which is just a reflection of it. So it's sort of all the same. You know, it really separated me. It removed the illusion of separation from me and the DNA, and it's all the same. The DNA is simply another tool. So this vision that in that we have this master blueprint, shall we say, in this master pituitary gland in the brain. And interesting enough, there are some other healers and literature supporting this theory, and it's just a theory. So I'm considering myself an experimentalist. And as an experimentalist, I get to play and explore and experience. And we need people like that who are developing new theories and let everyone else prove or disprove it. You know, I really wanted to generate this creatively and uniquely because it didn't feel like me, I thought of it. It felt like it discovered me. And that was a real interesting key that this theory discovered me. So what I'm going back to as the point is that our DNA has this inherent ability to regenerate our body completely. And it also has a key to regenerating limbs, regenerating organs, regenerating skin, to basically activating its highest and fullest expression of this body in this experience, in this existence, in this world that we're dwelling in. And don't we all want to fulfill our natural highest potential? It's this inherent urge. It's why we're all listening to this, to each other, in this sort of evolutionary intelligence that spontaneously just keeps living. And this living loves to continue growing and exploring. And this DNA itself has that code, has some of that blueprint. So it goes way beyond the Human Genome Project, which is about gene splicing. I'm talking about gene regenerating. And there's a few other things I wanted to bring up around that. Because we're talking about, there's a theory of miasms. People say, well, it runs in my family. I have heart disease, so did my dad, so did my dad's dad, so did my dad's dad's dad. And therefore, I will have heart disease too. So what is that? Well, it's history. And so it's a story. It's the past repeating itself in the present. You can call it even karma. but it's repeating. It's also a belief system that we're sort of choosing to buy into. What if someone were to challenge that by saying, well, yes, that was in the past, but I'm here now, and I'm going to consciously command my body, my being, my DNA to delete that programming, to activate its highest blueprint. And there are even machines on the market called a biophoton analyzer that doctors have used in experimental purposes, where you put a photo of you in it, scans your DNA, and gives a counter remedy for these codes inside that are carriers, memories, if we will, of DNA. So DNA is way more than simply chemicals. I've even heard it called a Tesla coil, and it is a transceiver. It actually sends and receives frequencies, and it communicates, and they call it biophotons. That's why drinking water or eating food that's activated with biophotons, biophotonic with light force, gives your interacts with your DNA better, and it helps activate its fullest potential. That's why research of animals that eat cooked food continually, successive generations degenerate, not regenerate, because that food is denied of life force. That's why it's very important to constantly be bringing in this life force through the body. And we even hear about aeritarians and breathitarians, people eat little to no water. Well, my theory is that they receive this biophoton from the sun. I did meet a sun gazer once. He's a yogi, HRM. He's called Hira Ratan Manek, I think is his name. And I met his researcher, Bud Brainerd, in Thomas Jefferson. He actually supervised him. This yogi has the world's longest supervised medical fast in the Guinness Book, unless it's been replaced. And this gentleman gazes at the sun. So again, this research is all broadly linked to how life, how once we remove certain barriers and limitations, life sustains itself, kind of supports this saying you hear in popular culture of, well, the universe is supporting you in what you're doing. Well, in a sense, it really is, and it always has been. Whether or not you think about it, whether or not you believe it does, it is. And these are some examples how. But simply expanding your awareness to these other potentials that you normally might not think about helps activate these new beliefs and possibilities for you. So this near-death experience, you know, started bringing together all these insights together, where it kind of consolidated into a bit of a DNA meditation. And that was a very simple meditation one could do. You'd sort of do it in water if you can, or do it when you're in a meditative state during your regular practices. And it sort of gives you a chance to sort of connect with the frequency of your DNA and literally activate it, program it, and help it reach its fullest potential. And interestingly enough, Marie, this is kind of an interesting side note, is conventional science sees double-strands DNA. They see these two coils wound up, and they form chromosomes, pairs of DNA wound together really tightly, and they're in every cell. What's interesting is I have had healers, clairvoyants, if you want to call them that, but people who claim they can see in beyond this physical world, look at my DNA, look at other people's DNA, and say, look, you have 12 strands of DNA. That's amazing. What is that? Most of my patients only have two. Yours look like 12 pairs of, you know, energetic strands of DNA. I can't say I understand what it is, but it does have a certain feeling to it. And I just enjoy working in this experimental unknown because of the beautiful insights that can come of it. And we don't need to necessarily wait for science 100 more years to prove this or disprove it. We can experiment in our own being safely and determine if it's going to be helpful for us. So that's one of my, you know, important points I wanted to make about that. And so the DNA healing, I found myself doing it for nonstop for, you know, months, if not years. And strangely enough, I did have people start telling me, what is it about you? You've never changed. In fact, you look younger. I was with my 109-year-old friend celebrating his birthday at a Brazilian function, because he was born in Brazil in 1901. And he and I walked into this lounge. There was capoeira, this martial arts, and there was pagode, which is like this samba-style dance. So all this chaos and festivities going on, and I was accompanying my friend, the bouncer wouldn't let me in. He stopped me with a strong arm. He said, sir, we can't let you in. I need to see your ID. And I'm looking at Fernando and said, Doc, what's up with this? So he looked at the ID, looked at the ID and said, okay, whatever, just go in. I was sort of flattered, and so was Fernando. I said, I think your stuff is working too well too, Fernando, because I'm still getting carded. And I said, let's just keep it that way and keep laughing. So to that extent, that experiment has worked. And it can really work on anyone. You can youthify, you can revive, you can regenerate yourself at any age, starting with your beliefs, starting with your nutrition, starting with your any practices, to the point where it feels like it is automatic. You know, these are only tools, these are training wheels. So for this practice, I repeated it long enough where I felt it was actually resonating that way. I kept experimenting. I actually felt that there were certain belief systems. Think of belief systems as if they're spinning in a certain direction, like a perpetual motion, like a pendulum, or like a spinning top we used to play as a kid. And it's spinning in a certain direction. Unless we counteract it, it's going to keep spinning in that direction. Maybe that's the nature of a story, or they call it the karmic wheel, or even a chakra spins in that certain direction. And it somehow has a life of its own. Unless you start counteracting that and giving it enough magnetic counteraction, it'll keep spinning that direction. There's even research that water does that. Water supposedly, and my dear friend and colleague Jim Law put together Water, the movie, among many other excellent water movies that research how water carries beliefs. When you pray to water, it changes its structures. When you meditate to it, when water goes through a city, it changes its structure. So there are certain filters and machines that actually remove the memory by changing the spin of water. Well, my theory is you can do the same with beliefs as well. So there was a point, Marie, that I kept doing it where I actually felt the beliefs anchor, this new program. I didn't, if someone were to say, you are XYZ age, I'd say, well, that could be your belief, but I really don't buy that. I don't even feel any age. I feel timeless, I feel ageless. And if I were to give it a label, I would say 25, or I would play around and say I'm timeless. But it really was, I actually felt like I hypnotized myself to be chronologically, physiologically, biologically young. So I bet you're curious to hear this anti-aging protocol.
Yes.
You know, and if we have a few minutes, I can walk you through a very, very brief version, because, you know, the full length one is more than we have time for, but I can sort of give you a Cliff Notes version of that.
Yes, please do.
Okay, so I have been talking a lot, but the other reason I've been talking is to give your mind enough data points to show the plausibility of this experimental protocol. And that's very important because, hearing this, you do realize there is science, there is medicine, there is science even catching up to some of these theories, and you have a chance to explore and experiment yourself and find out for yourself to test it out. So the first step in the DNA protocol is really to find a quiet place, preferably every day, and don't do this while driving or you're busy, but just find a quiet place when you might normally engage in a contemplative practice, before you go to sleep and when you wake up. In fact, Deepak Chopra did say, through e-myth, Michael Gerber, he studied business optimization and what makes the most successful businesses run where they give more life, not take it away. And he was actually quoting Deepak in terms of how he managed his life. So what Deepak does, the first thing he wakes up is he exercises, meditates, and then writes. Or maybe not in a particular sequence, but those are the first things that he does. And that's his commitment to himself. And the rest of the day, and I'm quoting, he says, is left up to uncertainty and unpredictability. So in this uncertain, unpredictable external world, it is beautiful to connect with this absolute. And then you have that carrying throughout the day that you're more deeply rooted and anchored in that and not so thrown off course, okay? So during your contemplative practice, get really still. And I'd say take 3 deep breaths. And in this quiet space, connect with your own sense of divinity. be it a guru, if you have a certain form, or your own sense of yourself and the peace or spaciousness, depending on your belief systems, okay? So in that space, imagine now that you're letting go of your mind now, any mind perceptions, any judgments. You're going on an experiment. In fact, imagine you're a little kid playing in a garden, okay? And you're suspending your disbelief, so you're not judging this as you're doing it. You just let that at the periphery quiet, because you really are, your true nature is dwelling in between the thoughts, in the silence, this beautiful, precious silence where the thoughts are simply surface pinpoints, ripples in the wave, but you really are this deep ocean. So from that space, imagine you're going to the center of your brain, to the pituitary gland, and simply do it with intention. You don't have to know where it is physically, but your intent is strong enough. Okay, so imagine going to the pituitary gland, and you see this beautiful flower. Imagine you see this beautiful flower, and the petals right now are closed. Or if they're not, just notice what the petals look like. And there are 12 petals on this flower. And if you can't see these petals, just pretend that they're there, okay? And the petals are almost like the numbers on a sundial, the numbers on the clock. There's the noon, the 3, the 6, and the 9. There's 12 petals spread around like that, almost like a sunflower. Okay? So each of these petals are a metaphor for your DNA and any higher levels of DNA, any other levels of DNA that science maybe can't perceive with a microscope, okay? So imagine this first petal is opening. So sort of with your mind, peel it up open. Just imagine it unfolding. Picture any colors it's having as you're seeing it. And as it's opening, just imagine it relaxing, releasing. If you have a light wand in your hand, so with this light wand, just kind of stretch out that DNA, almost like you're combing out some hair. That's a DNA strand number one. And do this with the second strand. Take this light wand and unwind this flower petal and open it up. And notice if there's any change in your body, in your attitude. Strangely enough, when I do it, I feel warmer. And at 2 o'clock, do the same thing. See it unfold. Now, 3 o'clock, it's sort of looking eastward or horizontal. Use this light wand, use your imagination to see that unwind and open up and relax. And now repeat it with the fourth. And the fifth at the 5 o'clock position. Now at the sixth. And as you're doing it, again, notice any perceptions. If your mind's telling you, this is crazy, notice any changes in your breathing, in your body. But as you notice any subtle changes, notice who's knowing. Notice who's noticing. And that can take you back a little bit further beyond simply this visualization, but to who really is visualizing. And then you get to this vastness, if you can. Okay, so that you're sort of at the halfway point. Repeat it with the seventh. Take this sort of wand and unfold that flower petal on the seventh. And on the eighth petal, do the same thing, unfold it. And as it sort of opens up, you'll feel or perceive even more energy, more radiance. The 9 o'clock, again, open it up. 10 o'clock hour, and then the 11 o'clock. And picture this sunflower-ish flower, this sundial, opened up now in this glory. And feel the difference of this opening versus the closing or how it was before, if any. And if you don't feel any difference, it's okay because your intent already naturally opens this up. So in this state, even as you're listening to me, if you're not doing anything at all, simply listening, this is all still happening in the background of you as well, because we're all so perfectly connected and one in the same source. So The next is a command. And the command, imagine like you're dropping this little gem in the center of this flower. It's like the base, where all the seeds are. So in that, imagine you're dropping a diamond or a gem. And this in this gem, you have this certain command. This is the DNA command that you're going to give yourself and your body. Okay? And it goes like this. So if you're hearing this now, listen to the words and then just repeat it silently or aloud to yourself in your mind. So I hereby command my DNA to discreate, delete, erase, and remove any and all viruses, bacteria, parasites, pathogens from my DNA and all other levels of my being and my physical being. I hereby command my DNA to activate its highest phenotypic, genotypic expression archetype blueprint for rejuvenation, regeneration, anti-aging, immortality, creative genius, beauty, prosperity, and love, all anchored at the chronological, physiological, biological age of, now you choose. I like the number 25. But you choose a number that you like. What age do you want to tell your body to relax into, to express itself, that you feel is optimal for you? All expressed in a gentle and consistent manner for my best and highest good, and for the highest good of all. Also, if you have any further commands you'd like to add, I'd like to further command my DNA to help me regenerate and explain what you're working on, explain what you're dealing with, what ails you that DNA, once activated, can help awaken and allow the body to do the healing, get out of the way. Okay, so that's the short command. So now what you're going to do is sort of close up this brief meditation. So imagine now you're closing up this flower and sort of anchoring it together. So starting at this noon petal, you're just taking it and sort of wrapping it in. You can even take your hand if you like, or imagine you're sort of closing it up to the center, noon, 1 o'clock, second petal, 2 o'clock, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9, 10, and 11. So they're all sort of tied up in a little bunch. They take this little silver rope and tie it all together in a bundle. And what you just did is you anchored that command in to this master blueprint, to the nucleus of your DNA, in the way it would express itself through the body. Okay, so to close down, 3 more deep breaths, returning yourself to the present. The present moment awareness of your body and its surroundings to yourself. And so, that's the short version of the protocol, and
so,
you can do this
Dr.
Stefan, anytime. Go ahead, Marie.
I just want to ask you, that was amazing, and so I would imagine some people are going to want to take more time to do that. Do you have a CD of that recorded that you're selling, or do you recommend people just make up their own?
Yes, I do have a CD in production and by popular demand, so That will be available. We do have a website we had a chance to put together. It's called The Natural Anti-Aging Secret.com. Just the way it sounds, the T-H-E, natural, N-A-T-U-R-A-L, anti, A-N-T-I, aging, A-G-I-N-G, secret, S-E-C-R-E-T.com. And that website features all the latest anti-aging tools, DVDs, and special products. It's a very specialty website. We really only deal with the highest quality, sort of cutting edge but timeless tools to activate your highest anti-aging potential. And that's the main focus. And it also cuts in, I'm so glad you asked about that, because it connects with my work with my dear friend and mentor, Bernardo Lapayo. I met him in 2007, and people argue with me all the time, well, he's so young when he's old because he has good genes. And to tell you the truth, that's true. He probably does have good genes. Longevity does run in his family. But I'll tell you something that would surprise you as well as anybody, that one of his children did not eat well. He ate crap, bad food. And as Bernardo would put it, he just ate crap, he didn't eat well, and he died 20 years. Bernardo outlived his son. He died in his 80s, his son, which is still long by most comparisons, but you see what, abusing your DNA privileges could cost you 20 years, 20% or more of your lifespan. Now, my converse theory is...
And I imagine at 80, he wasn't... I mean, you can be 80 and vital and vibrant, and you can be 80 and falling apart.
Yes. And Bernardo, even at age 109, is extremely healthy and not falling apart, has all his faculties together. And that's also what we're talking about, not simply longevity, but at any age, any point in time, you are living in this timeless, ageless youthfulness, natural youthfulness, effortless youthfulness that is, more your true nature than not. And Bernardo embodies that. So, yeah, we're talking about that as well. But, that's a very important point, Marie. And so that's where the DNA falls in, where we're talking about, so what, you might have challenging DNA in your family. Why not take control? Why not empower yourself to realize or re-believe, to undo the belief that you're a victim to your DNA just as much as you're a victim to your circumstances? Give yourself the chance to open up its highest potential and see what happens. See if you don't feel better. And I've had lots of people tell me that after even a simple meditation like this, they feel a shift. They feel a very subtle shift, but, your intent is very powerful and can make a difference. So this
and
gets
Dr.
people
Pisana,
to...
I,
go ahead.
I just want to interrupt you again for a second. Something just came to mind, that some people actually decide not to have children because of genetic issues run in their family, mental health, diseases, all of that, genetic disorders. And so if someone is wanting to have children or maybe is pregnant, this would be even more beneficial, I think, for them.
Oh, that's a profound, beautiful point. Yes, especially if you have concerns about DNA. I mean, if someone has concerns about a certain disease you're carrying, there are scientific ways or medical ways of determining what at-risk factors you have. But regardless, yes, the more you work and heal yourself, the more you heal your body and DNA, or I should say it spontaneously heals. The more you allow yourself and your being to spontaneously be whole and healed, the more that would reflect to future generations or even past generations. There's theories that when you heal yourself, you heal generations before and forward and backwards. Many traditions, spiritual traditions, talk about honoring your ancestors because you really are the sum total of that which came before you. So that's a very important point of that this is another tool to heal yourself, heal your children, born or unborn, also heal the planet in crisis right now and many levels. So very important points. Now on the point of nutrition, which supports the DNA, this is an integrative approach. So if you are working on DNA healing, it would reflect in also your ability or desire to heal your life on other levels. So people ask, what does Bernardo do, eat, say to stay and live this young and healthy? Well, he does have special recipes. He was a master chef, retired in, I believe it was the 50s, retired as a master chef, a five-star chef, worked around the world, served, you know, eminence like Winston Salem, Haile Selassie. He even told me a story. It's wild, but he knew Louis Armstrong, and I think he even made food for Stalin once.
Wow.
So, he's witnessed history in the making, but his food was renowned because he had a unique sixth sense that he didn't even have to taste the food that he's making because he's primarily sustainably raw, vegan, organic in his approach. And he's been that way all his life, but he's been sustainably, and by that I mean he does everything in moderation. If you offer some unique food from your house and it's not all raw and this and that, he'll try it, and he's very gracious about that. And it's sustainable because he's been able to do it for 100 years. And that's a very important point. So he doesn't vacillate to extremes of anything. You know, if he has a slight craving or he doesn't really have much of a sweet tooth, but if someone offers something, he'll nibble and say thank you. And I think that's a very gracious way of allowing, just saying yes to everything and not putting up barriers and saying, no, not this, not that, and then that becoming the new thing you're rebelling against. Like the attitude of fighting for peace. Let's fight for peace. So what does that do? anyway, so what does he eat? Well, in one of the CDs, DVDs that we put together, we film him showing some of his food preparation. He does what's called superfood every morning. It's an herbal formulation that he co-formulated with a well-known herbalist, and that he sells at his house if someone goes to his house, but usually he sells it online, or he refers people to an online source where he co-formulated it. But he's done that every single morning for 30 years. It's an herbal drink. You know, he puts 2 tablespoons of this herbal formulation, these herbs, into juice or fruit juice and blends it up. And that's his morning drink. He actually does it the night before. So here you go about best practices. And he also walks every day, constant exercise. And he likes to challenge himself constantly, but not overdo it. There's that saying, live as though it were the last day of your life, but work as if you live forever. So, in other words, just seize the day, but also pace yourself. It's a nice equilibrium, a dynamic equilibrium that I like to call it. So he does that. He eats certain times every day. 3 meals a day, not when it's dark, and he primarily focuses on healthy, green, vegan foods, but also tasty. He has to make food palatable. So in the recipe demo, he shows how to make the superfood where it's palatable. If you don't make it right, it tastes kind of like fish food, I hate to tell you. And I've had people who don't make it right and they don't like it, and I don't blame them. So he wants it to be tasty and tasteful. He also makes an excellent barley soup, and that was featured in the Arizona Republic. And barley is a classic intestinal support because of the bulk and the fiber it produces. He also has what he calls a health salad, where he mixes together vegetables with his special spices and seasonings. So he has a staple of a special soup, a fruit salad, a special fruit salad that he creates, a green salad and a fruit salad, shall we say. So a few main types of meals. He actually does say he has salmon occasionally. So like I said, he's sustainably raw, but you know he does have his particular food choices that work for his body. And he does believe in very healthy water, and he also supports supplementation. I'm a big advocate of alkalinized, ionized, hydrogen-enriched water. So if you can get a spring water, great. I mean, really spring water and test it. Or if you live in a municipal source, it's very important to get the right water filter. And not all of them are the same. In fact, there's a lot of misinformation about that. But also, interestingly enough, I found research on monoatomic minerals being very important for your full healing potential because some of these are lacking in our traditional diet, even with herbs and healthy things. So you know, we have certain recommendations of minerals and supplements that we've found some of the highest quality because of the way they're absorbed. They're not colloidal, they're monoatomic, which is like the next generation, I guess, where it's absorbed into the brain and body. And I call it a superconductor of consciousness, which if we're in this world of rapidly growing technology, change and transformation, institutions are falling, new ones are being created, there's a lot of change for our systems to handle and adapt to. We're a very electronic age. This electrical activity is, you know, can actually, you know, tweak your nervous system a little bit. So by being superconductors of the divine, as I like to call it, as Gabriel Cousins once said, one of my raw food physicians that I once saw for a while as a client, be superconductors of the divine. And that helps, you know, your body be integrated with this consciousness. So those are very important too. And that's part of this whole integrated approach to support your DNA healing and restructuring your generation. And in fact, Gabriel Cousins, you know, talked about calorie restriction as a form to help, as a tool to help activate the anti-aging gene, as it's done in other animals and other experiments. So I'm not saying to starve yourself, absolutely not. But one of the classic meal rules is don't eat until you're overstuffed constantly. That can just hinder the digestion. Eat to live or live to eat, which one do you choose? So eating to live just allows you to eat enough to sustain you. You eat food that you're enjoying, and that's really important. And the other thing about DNA is you saw this meditation was like a flower. We're not forcing anything to open. We're just creating the ideal conditions for you internally, externally, for this natural unfolding. If you're rushing it, you try to pull the petals open on a flower, you know what happens. It just gets messed up. So this is a gentle unfolding, and you see I intended it for natural and gradual because, you know, some things are best done of their own accord without too much forcing or pushing. Let it have its natural unfolding.
Well, Dr. Stefan, thank you so much, and we're already out of time. I've added a few extra minutes so we can wrap up the show without being cut off. I would love to have you on the show again if you're available.
I would absolutely welcome that. It was an absolute joy and pleasure, and I hope this information has been beneficial to all of you. Even just the reminders that are alone can help, you know, open up one's vision of what's possible.
Definitely. And we have one live listener who is in Arizona in the chat room and would like to know if you're doing any talks or workshops in the near future.
I would welcome the opportunity to do that. We do get invites to do that. And please sign up on our newsletter on the website. And if you have any inquiries about that, please let me know, and we'll definitely consider it. So we're always open to invites for interviews or appearances. Our schedule is very busy, but we always welcome those invites, and we'll certainly, you know, take a look at them.
And the website, again, is the natural...
Oh, the natural, N-A-T-U-R-A-L, the natural antiagingsecret.com. So check on the website for any updates related to the DNA healing, if it's not on already. Also, there are some lovely, extremely unique tools, including these anti-aging recipes and a few radio interviews and other unique anti-aging, aging reversal tools not found anywhere else. So we're really privileged to have had a chance to put that together and offer that out to the world.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure, and the feedback in the chat room is just, everyone is really excited. So someone has posted with hyphens. There's no hyphens in your website address, is there?
No, it's the natural antiagingsecret.com. One word. Antiagingsecret.com. And we're actually live. We just tested the website. What it does is it does forward to a hyphenated one, but the natural antiagingsecret.com. Or if someone is into hyphens, natural-anti-aging-secret.com. So they're both the same website, natural-anti-aging-secret.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again, and we'll have to book you on the show again. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you again, Marie. Looking forward to it.
Take care. Happy holidays. Bye-bye. So that was Dr. Stefan Kassian, and you can find him again at thenaturalantiagingsecret.com, all one word. And if you are just tuning in, he did a fabulous guided meditation a few minutes ago. You may want to go back and listen to this episode again and again. Thank you so much for being with us today. It's been such a pleasure serving you with this show. And I would just like to let you know that there are still a few online shopping days before Christmas. All of our Eckhart Tolle DVDs are on for, I believe, half price at the namastepublishing.com website, and there are also many, many beautiful gifts there, and also an entire free site full of blogs, articles. You can connect with other like-minded individuals, so please do go to namastepublishing.com, join our site, it's absolutely free. And also, if you enjoyed this show, please favorite the show because our schedule is going to be changing slightly in 2011. So thank you so much for being with us. I will see you next week. We're going to have a bit of a Christmas special with David Robert Ord. He is going to be talking about the Christmas story, and he is a theologian. He has a vast, vast education in theology, so it will be a fascinating hour to discuss the Christmas story from his perspective with him. So take care, happy holidays, and we'll see you again next week. Namaste.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.